At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome into the After the Cut edition of Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show right here on VSiN and VSiN.com. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Friday night after the cut at the 121st United States Open going on at Torrey Pines Golf Course in beautiful La Jolla, California. Good evening to you, Wes. And let's start at the top of the leaderboard. You have Russell Henley and Richard Bland tied for the 36-hole lead. Richard Bland, of course, won a month ago for the first time on the European Tour. It was his 478th start on the European circuit. When he went into that event, he was ranked 218th in the world. Now, we're a little bit more familiar with Russell Henley. He's been a tour journeyman and a successful player for a long time. But this is uncharted waters for the 48-year-old Richard Bland from England.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you mentioned Richard Bland's win at the British Masters last May. Oldest ever first-time winner on the European Tour at 48 years of age and now in the U.S. Open. And I was looking up some information about Richard Bland. This is only the fourth major championship that he has even participated in throughout his entire career. So has not, I don't believe, made a cut in a major. I think he's made one cut in a major, and that was 2017 at Royal Birkdale for the Open Championship. But the reason why you're seeing Richard Bland at the top of the leaderboard, right now he's second in the field, strokes gained putting, gained about 6.6 strokes through the first two rounds. Only Scottie Scheffler is better at about 7.5 in terms of the flat stick. And Richard Bland tied for the lead, as you mentioned, with Russell Henley. Now, Russell Henley actually got the outright lead. He got to 6-under, the lowest score overall in the tournament. Did give one away on the 18th, so Russell Henley and Richard Bland, obviously Henley, the more known commodity, has won a couple times on the PGA Tour. I think most, at least regular golf fans, are very familiar with him, but Richard Bland, right there at 5-under par, they will be the final group on Saturday at 5-under par.
Wes, if you look a little bit further down the leaderboard, I think it's pretty interesting where you have Louis Oosthuizen and Matthew Wolf, both just one stroke off the lead at 4-under par. Now, we know Louis Oosthuizen won the British Open in 2010 at St. Andrews. We also know that he has finished runner-up in every single major championship. Matthew Wolf, in his very first U.S. Open last September at Winged Foot, finished second. And guess who finished third? Louis Oosthuizen. Mm-hmm. Here are these guys at the top of the leaderboard in a U.S. Open once again. What are your thoughts about these two gentlemen?
You know, you can't be surprised with Oosthuizen. We know he's a big game hunter, and he has been in the hunt for many majors. Of course, he was at the PGA at Kiawah a few weeks ago, played very well at the Masters. So that's not exactly a shock. Matthew Wolff, we didn't know. He was very much boom or bust, I think, coming into this thing because he had not played in over 2 months. He had been dealing with some injuries and whatnot, so he had not been in the field. But seeing what we're seeing out of Matthew Wolff, and look, it could have been even better, Brady. If we go back to Thursday's round one, he made 8 birdies, which in a U.S. Open is uncanny to make in a round, but he only finished 1 under par 70 for that first round because he made a lot of mistakes. If you look at where Matthew Wolff is really gaining, he's gaining 3.5 strokes off the tee. That is third best in the field behind the two longest hitters, arguably, in the world of golf, Wilco Nienaber and Bryson DeChambeau. Matthew Wolff right behind them at 3.51. And then you look at the approach game, I believe he's in the top 10, gaining 4.29 over 2 rounds. But what I think has really been a little bit surprising about Matt Wolff is he's been doing, I think, you know, okay with the putter, and that's really kind of the weak club in his bag. So he's gained 2.42 strokes over 2 rounds. It's really kind of the chipping game and around the green when you miss the green is where he's losing so far. But Matthew Wolff, obviously, right there. And kind of when we look at some of the in-play prices, I believe pretty much market consensus, we're getting 10-1 on Matthew Wolff. And he might be a guy, if I'm going to get involved with somebody, because both you and I are actually on the two betting favorites, I think, by and large. Both you and I are on Jon Rahm and Xander Schauffele. Jon Rahm at about 7-2, 4-1. Xander Schauffele 6 or 7-1, depending on where you shop. And I think, look, Jon Rahm, and we'll get to him more momentarily, looks like he is absolutely the rightful favorite here, but Matthew Wolff not that much far down the board.
Yep, no, I hear you loud and clear. And I wanted to ask you before we get into some more players and what we might expect going forward in this championship, what did you think of Torrey Pines so far? And I want to hear what you thought. What my impression was on the first day that I think that was the most gettable day we're going to see over the course of this entire championship. That was probably when the golf course was at its softest and the greens were going to be, the most supple and were the most receptive of golf shots. It still looked somewhat like a U.S. Open, but I don't think it was 100% there. And then today, it increasingly got more U.S. Open-ish, if you will. And I think it's only going to increase throughout the weekend. Now, you know, we don't typically see a 36-hole leader at 5 under par at a, you know, at the utmost definition of a U.S. Open. But I think we're headed that direction. The scores actually may get lower here before we're finished.
Yeah, you could certainly see that. And I think kind of what we saw, at least, I don't know if it's a pronounced bias, but basically what you see early in the morning, and you're only going to see it really in the first 2 rounds, is that the POA, in terms of the surface, is a lot more pure in the mornings because the grass has been mowed. As you go throughout the day, these greens get bumped. And look, they're going to be as bumpy for the leaders really on the weekend in rounds 3 and 4 respectively. So that's what you're really going to see. So you got to have some experience on these greens. And you look at a couple guys that did play well. We kind of had a mixed bag if we look at Torrey Pines in terms of the Farmers Insurance Open in January. Some guys played very well and some guys did not. But two guys that were definitely in the hunt for that event, which was eventually won by Patrick Reed, are Jon Rahm and Xander Schauffele. And they, I think, are the rightful two favorites. Jon Rahm, a very workmanlike 70 today. And look, he only hit 5 of 14 fairways. And I kind of made the statement, hey, that's a pretty darn big round to get in at 70 and be 3 under par, even though you're not on the lead when you hit 5 of 14 fairways. And he mentioned in his post-round press conference that he was not very happy. He's like, these things just would roll off the fairway and wouldn't stay in. But yet, he is in at 3 under par. And really, Brady, when I look at this, and this is a trend, so keep this in context. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but this is from our friend Justin Ray at Justin Ray Golf. if you look, the last 25 U.S. Open champions, 23 of those 25 were at or within two shots of the lead through 36 holes, and 24 of the last 25 U.S. Opens were inside the top six, rather, through 36 holes. So if we look at that leaderboard right now and see who those guys are, Richard Bland, Russell Henley, Louis Oosthuizen, and Matthew Wolff, Bubba Watson, and John Rahm, that is your top six. Now, that doesn't mean, I don't think Xander Schauffele at two under par is certainly out of this thing. So even though this trend has been pretty strong, I don't want to count a Schauffele or a Scottie Scheffler or a Bryson or a Brooks Koepka, guys that have some major championship medal. Colin Morikawa had a nice round today, four under par, 67 to get the even. Justin Thomas kind of hanging around there at even par. So I don't want to say that these guys four or five strokes out of lead are out of it, because they are not.
Well, let's talk about some of the guys that missed the cut and some of the guys that were a little bit lucky to make the cut. It looked like the cut was going to be at plus three all day long. And then as the afternoon wore on, more and more guys started to make bogeys and let some more people into the field here. It ended up falling on plus four, and that got Jordan Spieth into the weekend, Kevin Kisner, Siwoo Kim, Paul Casey, and Shane Lowry. I know Paul Casey and Shane Lowry are a couple of players that both you and I like their chances this week. But you look at some of the guys that missed the cut, and we're talking U.S. Open winners that always seem to show up in majors in Justin Rose and Webb Simpson, and they were god-awful. Mm-hmm. They just finished about dead last in the entire thing. Tony Finau missed by a lot, and maybe the greatest track record at the Farmers Insurance of the entire field. Jason Kokrak and that total driving and the great putting he's had this year. He was a guy both you and I liked this year. Abraham Answer, Victor Hovland had to withdraw, but he wasn't playing well either. Victor Perez, Max Homa, Billy Horschel, Willie Z, Zalatoris mm-hmm. was a guy that a lot of people, and I expected him to do well. He's been fantastic in majors so far. Corey Connors, ball striker extraordinaire, didn't make it. Terrell Hatton looked like a real threat after round one and falls all the way off the pace today to miss the cut. And then finally, Matt Wallace, Sam Burns, and Cam Smith, class players in their own right.
And Victor Hovland, also add him to that. Now, he was an official withdrawal because I believe he got sand in his eye and couldn't see. Now, he was well on his way to missing the cut. I think he was nine over par when he withdrew. There was another guy that was tied for second back at the Farmers Insurance Open and really one of the only guys out of that pack that challenged Patrick Reed for that event. So I had him, and I thought he was going to go better than he did, but he did not. But overall, four over par does make it into the field. So 71 players, they go low 60 in ties now. They do not have the 10-shot rule at the U.S. Open anymore. So that's why, if you're wondering why the five over pars did not make the cut, in which there were a lot of guys on that number, that's why, because they do not go at the 10-shot rule anymore.
All right, Wes, let's take a look towards the weekend and the odds board there, wherever you can find DraftKings, of course, has updated odds. I know BetMGM has some up. I'm not sure if they're out yet at the Westgate.
Yeah, I've got them right in front of me, Brady.
Yep. Westgate's starting to pop up. Yep. Okay, so everybody's starting to put out the adjusted odds board here as we head into the weekend at Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open. And as you mentioned, John Rahm is the favorite. I've seen plus 350. I've seen 4-1. You mentioned Xander Schauffele. I've seen plus 650. I've seen 8-1. So in that pocket there for Schauffele, some other choices here at the top of the leaderboard. Matthew Wolff at 10-1. Russell Henley at 11-1. Koepka at 16. I've seen DeChambeau as high as 20-1. Bubba Watson also in the neighborhood of 20-1. So anybody on your radar there that you might jump back in here and rebuy, if you will, to win this thing?
Right now I've got three guys that I would consider at least bona fide to even somewhat on the periphery of contention. Of course, the two favorites, having them, John Rahm and Xander Schauffele. And I do think John Rahm is the guy to beat here in this U.S. Open. I just like the way he's played. He's not making mistakes, and when he does make a mistake, he recovers very quickly, and he just looks like he's playing that workmanlike U.S. Open game without a lot of variance. Pars are very good here, and he's only two off the pace at three under par. And I also have Schauffele. I also have Scottie Scheffler, a very quiet 69 today, who did get into a tie for 10th. But if I'm looking at maybe some guys to add here, I don't really want to go too far off the grid, Brady, because as I mentioned earlier, you usually don't see guys five and six and seven shots back. I want to say it was Webb Simpson maybe at Olympic Club, and part of that was Jim Furyk when he was the leader when he came back to the field. But you usually don't see a lot of far from behind comebacks here at the U.S. Open because, like I said, pars are good. And it's just when you gain a stroke and there are birdie opportunities out there, it's like you give it right back. We kind of saw that with Brooks Koepka all afternoon today, who does get in an even par. And I think where I'm seeing him around 16-1, which is where I think he really was pre-tournament. There were a lot of, I think, sharp guys that did like Brooks Koepka this week. So you can still get him at that price if you want to go ahead and do that. Of the shorter guys, maybe Matt Wolf at about 10-1 would be somebody I'm looking to add because these numbers are really impressive in terms of not only off the tee, but the approach, the ball striking game. He's probably been the best pure ball striker in the field, and he's not really losing with the putter right now. So if he can hold that together for 4 days, we didn't see it coming because he's been out with injuries. Matthew Wolf might be a guy I would look at. I'm not going to – I hate to discount somebody, but I'm not a believer in Richard Bland. He's 33-1 right now, 35-1 basically. So I don't know if he's going to have be able to go the distance here for 72 holes. I think some of those guys at plus one, as talented as they are, like Rory McIlroy, 35-1 right now, 40-1. He's a little too far back for my taste. So probably what I would be looking to add here in my position would be Matthew Wolf. And I would also – you know, I'm trying to talk myself into Bubba Watson, perhaps, because he does have a win on this course back in 2011, the Farmers Insurance Open. But he's so bad at the U.S. Open throughout his career. He's missed 8 of 14 cuts in the U.S. Open. One top five finish. So, I don't know, maybe 20-1 might not be enough on Bubba Watson. I would need a little more.
Well, I don't know if you saw his post-round interview today, but it was fantastic.
Yes.
And Bubba, I think, has grown up and matured so much in the last 5 to 10 years. He was pretty erratic and had a hot temper, you know, when he was coming up, when he was first winning his first Masters and whatnot. And he didn't make a lot of friends, really, as far as fans and on the tour. But, boy, it was an absolutely honest, candid, very human and humorous interview there after his round, and he said exactly what you're saying. He's like, hey, maybe I finally got this U.S. Open thing figured out. And he goes, but you know, I'll go out there tomorrow and throw up all over myself. I mean, it was really a great piece. Did you happen to see that?
I did, but and look, I'm happy that Bubba Watson played well, and I think he has showed maturity. And I think when you get into your 40s, which he's now in, you kind of get a new perspective on the game of golf. And he, I think, always had at least some decent perspective, because I remember when he won his Masters, he goes, my goal was to be out here and to get 10 wins, which he has now accomplished. So he has, you know, made a lot of money and had a lot of fame in this game. So now I think he's kind of playing a little bit more free and easy. But if there's a U.S. Open course where he's going to play well, it does make sense that it's here at Torrey Pines, where he has a pretty good record here and he has a win in 2011. So, it really makes sense. And he is actually one of just three players, just him, who his playing partner will be in round three tomorrow, John Rahm and Louis Oosthuizen. Through two rounds, the only players to have gained a full stroke in the on the field, at least off the tee, approach, around the green, and putting. And those are the four things we measure every single week.
Okay, well, Wes, I am with you on a couple of those guys, a couple of those guys that we already have pre-tournament rooting for John Rahm and Xander Schauffele. Of course, you and I landed on Rahm and Schauffele before this U.S. Open got started, and I agree with you that they have not been topsy-turvy. They've been playing very steady golf. Xander, of course, missed a few short putts today, but for the most part, I've liked the game of both Schauffele and Rahm. I was disappointed that Schauffele missed the birdie putt there on the final hole today. I wanted him to fall into that trend that we talked about, being only two shots off the lead. He's three back. Rahm is only two back. But even at 8-1 on Schauffele and 4-1 on Rahm, I still think they're good bets heading into the weekend, and I'm happy to have them in pocket. If I was going to get involved here with a couple of guys longer down the board, your guy, Scottie Scheffler, Wes, I think he certainly has a great shot here. He's only four shots back. Worries me a little bit that he's been so over the top with the flat stick and gaining so many strokes putting, but I absolutely believe he has the game for this golf course and this championship. And then Kevin Streelman, who's kind of the ultimate prototypical U.S. Open player. Lee Jansen, Jim Furyk, you know, just plods along, hits greens in regulation all day long. He's also had great success at Pebble Beach, which I think is a course that correlates here to Torrey Pines. So Kevin Streelman just three shots back, and you can find him in the neighborhood of 40-1. Scheffler in the neighborhood of 33-1. Those would be a couple guys that I might look at if I wanted to get re-involved on a couple of other guys further down the board other than Rahm and Schauffele. That is going to do it for us. It is the U.S. Open After the Cut edition of Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.